don't you just close your eyes there where you are and just allow the Lord to also just bring perspective in your life specifically. Just ask Him to respond to the words that came. If there are idols in your life, if there are stuff that you need to lay down, or just make decisions on time, then do that right now. Make a commitment to God. Say, God, help me to make that commitment to just say no to certain things, that I can spend time with You, that I can receive You, I can fellowship with You. And then if you're under condemnation here this evening, then just allow the Lord to show you how much He cares for you and how much He really wants you to prosper. He wants you to fulfill that which He's called you to fulfill. So just allow Him to just come and deliver you of any condemnation. But if there's conviction in your life, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then just respond to that. Don't feel like a worm and feel not worthy. In fact, if God is speaking to you, even if it's a hard word, then just rejoice in the fact that God is telling you something. So many times we run away when we find things tough, especially in the kingdom. We think, oh, that's not God. It's just circumstances are tough. And sometimes God does speak to us, and He disciplines us as His children. So just allow Him to show you, bring perspective on where you're at. Just with life, with your future. Just think about eternity. Think about, what is this life really about? What is it all about? And that will set you free when we have an eternal focus. When we focus on Him, it's the only reason for living. All the other stuff must just bring glory to his name. So just there where you are, just choose even to say, God, I want to bring glory to Your name through my studies, through the busy hours that I have to work, or long hours I have to study, and the lack of sleep and the lack of time management. Lord, I want to just glorify You. So help me, Lord. Help me to take the next step. I don't have to spend 10 hours in the Word if I've only been spending 10 minutes. God doesn't expect you to be spending hours and hours. If He just wants you to spend a little bit more time with Him. So just grow in that next step. Just take that next step. But do it by faith. Don't do it through works or through being hard on yourself. Just say, God, I commit to just to love You more. Show me practically what that means. Tonight we just realize how great You are, Lord. And Lord, how insignificant we are actually, Lord, but yet You come down to identify with us, Lord. You've come down and become a man, Lord, and You can so know exactly what we're all going through, Father. And we thank You for that great, amazing gift of salvation. We thank You that You came, Jesus. And even while we were still sinners, Lord, You died for us. And we thank You for Your incredible love for us, Lord. But we thank You also that You're a holy God, and that, Lord, You've come also to purify us, Lord. You've come to sanctify us. You've come to refine us, Lord. So we thank You, Lord, that You choose to use anything, Lord, to make us more like You. And our hearts are to become like You, Jesus. That's all we want, Lord, is to become like You. So use everything in our lives, Lord, that we can be shaped and formed for Your glory. Thank You for the mystery of the gospel, Lord. We don't understand it, Lord, but we realize, Lord, it's so real tonight, God, that a great and awesome God would come and manifest His presence right here, Lord. Just since there's so many lies in people's lives, even right now, lies about who God is and lies about who You are, or who You're not. And the Lord just says, those lies are not from Me. So many voices. There's voices in people's heads even this evening. And you need to start to discern which is the voice of God and which is the voice of the evil one and which is your own voice. I speak peace now to every confusion. I speak peace to confused minds right now. I speak peace in the name of Jesus, and I say, be still. Be still in the name of Jesus. Because you can hear God's voice. You can know who God is. As someone here, you're almost thinking, I thought I know God, but who is God? Who is God really? You're thinking that right now, and God says, you can know my voice. You can know me. Because my sheep hear my voice. But are you one of my sheep? The Lord is asking you. Are you really one of my sheep? Are you part of my fold? Or are you just someone running from place to place, trying to find fulfillment, even from church to church, trying to find fulfillment? The Lord says, I want to know you. I want you to know me. And it's possible, says the Lord, it's possible. Psalm 46 verse 10, it says, be still and know that I am God. And I believe the Lord is saying that we need to be still and know that He is God. He's not God in the excitement always. He's not God in the busyness of life. He's God in the still small voice. And He wants you to be still and to know Him, to know His peace tonight. Some people here are so struggling to switch off from just running around in your mind even, but even physically you're running around and you're tired, and the Lord just says, stop running around. Stop trying to find me in every happening. I'm to be found everywhere, but I'm to be found when you just stop running. So He wants you to slow down. He wants you to make some calculations even in your life, and just to choose to slow down. To choose to walk like Jesus walked, having time for everything that He was called for, but never being rushed, never being late. So God wants to even give you peace in your body. Some people's bodies are taking strain because you're running around. You're even stressed. You're actually thinking, am I going to get sick? Am I just going to have a meltdown? And God says, you will if you don't come to me and find rest. Lord, we're sorry so many times for trying to find you in areas where you are not to be found, Lord. You are to be found when we just quieten ourselves, God. It's not about doing a quiet time or having a quiet time, Lord. It's just about just experiencing you when we just switch off, God, from everything in this world, God. And so we choose this evening, God, to just soak in this moment, God. And you want to give us these moments every day, God. We don't have to have music. We don't have to have stuff around us to get us into your presence, God. We just need to switch off, God. And we choose to do that this evening, God. We choose to make it a habit, Lord, and make it a lifestyle that we can hear your still small voice, God. And even when it's busy, God, when we've been in that quiet place, when we've been in that place where the boat, where you're sleeping in the boat, God, then we can take on the storms of life. Then the storms come into perspective, God. But so many of us, Lord, the storms are just out of perspective because we've forgotten that you're actually right there in our boat sleeping, Lord. You actually just want us to just come and just be at peace like you are, Lord. We don't even have to wake you up, Lord. We just need to just sit and know that you are God, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that reminder tonight, God. We're just in awe of you, Lord. You are so incredibly committed to us, Lord, but you're also incredibly committed to your cause and to your mission, Lord. So thank you that we can form part of your mission, Lord. We just praise you for tonight, Lord. We commit just the word to you tonight. We commit, Lord, every word. I commit every word that is spoken tonight, God. I pray that you would cut between bone and marrow, soul and spirit, Lord, through your word tonight. God, whatever is not of you, God, I thank you that will fall on dead ground, Lord. But that which is of you, Father, I thank you for hearts to be soft to receive and ears wide open to hear your voice this evening, God. Thank you that you know every person's situation, Lord. You know every person's heart. And I pray that you would speak to hearts tonight, God. I pray that you would establish us, God. Refine us, Lord. Change us. We commit to hearing what you have to say through your word tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you. We praise you. There's none like you. In Jesus' name. And everyone says, amen. I guess we can go on like this the whole night in God's presence. Amen. Isn't it amazing? Isn't God good? Just before I'm going to start with my message tonight, I just want to mention something quickly that we're going to do as students on campus. We, a couple of us, the other churches have got together. And anyone heard of the 40-day challenge? No one heard of the 40-day challenge? Have you been reading our Facebook page? I guess you're not so active. If you are, then we've put this on our Facebook page. And we've decided as Campus Ministries Forum, which is the group of churches working on campus, that we want to do something about all the stuff that's happening on campus and all the struggles that have been happening this last while. As you know, there's been complaints at the church. All we do is pray and we do nothing. And so we felt it good to put that out to us as believers. And I don't believe it should just be a 40-day thing. I don't believe it should just be a campus thing. I said to the morning service this morning, I want to challenge all of them to do it as well at work and just to do something good every day to someone. And especially someone that's not the same as you, that's different race or different background or different language, just to bless someone out of your comfort zone. And so there's a 40-day challenge. It's 10 days that just repeat 4 times. And so it gives you just an opportunity to bless someone with like a piece of fruit or a word of encouragement or a smile or just to pray for people. You don't have to even speak to people on certain days. You can just pray that God reveals himself to people or whatever it is. But we've made it a 40-day thing that it can become a culture. Okay, that's why we do it 40 days, because if you don't do something habitually for at least 20 or 30 days, then sometimes it doesn't become a habit. So we want it to become a habit. So keep an eye out on our Facebook page. Every day we'll just post something as to what you can do to bless someone. You don't have to stick to that. You can do something different if you want to, but it just helps us to get into a habit. And that's why we thought we'll do it as churches. So all the churches on campus know about it. Whether they're going to do it or not, that's not up to us. We just throwing it out there, and I'm going to challenge myself to do it. If you can't do it every single day, that's fine. But just do something good for someone every day, that you can bless someone, you can live your Christian life out practically. Amen. Who's excited for that? Okay, so it's starting tomorrow, and it's going to end in the exams. We were hoping to start a week earlier, that it would end just before the exams, but the church has just wanted more time to mention it to their people. So we're starting tomorrow, and it'll go on until the 27th of May. So we're really trusting for a culture shift on campus. Amen. That we can bless people, that we can look beyond ourselves and our own challenges and our own stuff and really bless people out there. So I want to really challenge you to join with us and to just do something good every day. And if you want more information, speak to Jacobus or one of the leaders. They know exactly what's going to happen every day, but we'll post it on the Facebook page. And I want you to encourage other people to join you. Some of the stuff is actually in groups, so you can do it together and just come bless them. Just take 5 or 10 minutes, or even if it's half an hour out of your day, to just do something good by the power of God. So let's not make it a works thing, but let's really say, God, help us to bless other people. Amen. Because that's why we are. Isn't that exciting? Okay, cool. So who's excited tonight? Just shake someone next to you and say, are you ready? We're busy with a series on celebrating life, okay? April is a month of celebrating life. Life is good, amen? Life is from God. So this evening and 2 weeks ago I talked about celebrating people, that God celebrates people and God celebrates you, and you should also celebrate other people just like Jesus did when he met with Zacchaeus and his life was changed. So tonight I'm just going to talk a little bit about celebrating your weakness. Isn't that cool? And next week, anyone going through some challenges here, some like hectic trials and frustrations and challenges? Anyone being challenged a bit by life? Just give me an indication. Some people. Well, then come again next week. Next week we're going to go talk about celebrating your trials and your tribulations. Okay. But this week we're going to talk about rejoicing in your weakness. Now, this week I saw who graduated this week. I want to say congratulations. Some people like got distinctions and just, don't be so humble now. Just put up your hand. Some people put photos on Facebook and you graduated. You did very well. Your parents maybe put them on as well, which was a blessing. You didn't have to do it yourself. But you see, we many times are excited to celebrate our strengths. You know, we celebrate what we're good at. We celebrate our achievements. We rejoice in that which we're good at many times. But how many times would we put on Facebook, I rejoice in my weakness? You know, a photo of you in your worst moment and you're just saying, you know, I'm gonna rejoice in the bad times, rejoicing in my weaknesses, rejoicing in the stuff that I'm maybe not very good at. I think you've heard the saying that your greatest strength can become your greatest weakness. Anyone heard that before? Because life works like that. You see, our greatest strengths always have pitfalls because we're not perfect. We're not quite like Jesus yet, and so our strengths, our good points often have pitfalls as well. For example, you're very good with people. You love people. You just want the best for people. You want to bless people. You just want to spend time with people the whole time. But the challenge with that is that sometimes you might struggle with what happens if someone rejects you? What happens if you disappoint someone? What happens if you have someone not like you? then you know, it's a strength that you're so good with people, but what happens if you get rejected? Then you know, you don't like it so much. So it can be a little bit of a downfall. Or on the other hand, you're so good at systems and processes and stewardship, and you're so efficient and effective that you get the job done and you're amazing. But on the other hand, sometimes you just forget that life is also about people, and so you tend to miss the needs that people have because you're so efficient and you're so calculated and you're so effective with life and with resources that you might. That might be a strength, but then on the other hand, you forget that life isn't about doing the job. It's also about people. So every strength has its weakness. Isn't that so? Each one of us sitting here has got gifts and got strengths and got weaknesses. But your greatest strength is often your greatest weakness. But I want to turn around by saying tonight that your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength. Have you ever thought about it that way? Because we know that our strengths are cool and we celebrate and we love our good gifts and we love the stuff God has blessed us with. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do that. I'm saying we should definitely do that, because let's take that as a given tonight. Let's take that you know, you should operate in your gifts and you should refine your strengths and you should, yes, you know, don't do something that God hasn't called you to do. But I think if we live life only like that, if we only focus on what we're good at, I think we miss something of God. Because I believe that your greatest weakness can become your greatest strength. And I'll tell you now why I say that. See, God is an amazing God. God's ways are much higher than our ways. Anyone heard that before? Do you know that God's ways are so much higher than your ways? Do you know that we can never fully figure out God in this life? That's why it's so amazing to grow in God and to worship God and to get to know Him better. So we don't always understand why it is, but Paul said something about this in 2 Corinthians 12. He said the following, and Paul was talking about a thorn in the flesh that God had given him. There was a thorn in his flesh, and the Bible isn't clear exactly what it was, but Paul referred to it as something that he just wanted out. He didn't want this weakness. He didn't want this thing that was hampering his calling. And you know, Paul was an amazing guy. Paul seemed to just be so blessed, and everything he did prospered, and he was this amazing. You know, when he was a Jew, he was such a Jew. He was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. He was so focused on the law. He did everything according to the book. And then God called him and he seemed to do everything according to the book as well. And so I think he was probably challenged with pride in his life. And so God left this thorn in his flesh. God said, I'm not going to take this thorn away from you. I'm not going to remove this because I want you to realize that your dependency is not on yourself and your giftings and your strong points. Your dependency is upon me. And so he said, three times he pleaded with God and said, God, please remove this thing. And God said to him the following, Jesus speaking to him, because in my Bible it's in red. Jesus said to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. How many of us tonight want that? How many of us want God's power in your life? Because Paul says, therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Who wants the power of Christ to rest upon your life? Who wants that tonight? Really, I'm asking you truly, because some of us don't really want it. No, we'll just go on with life, you know, in our own strength we'll calculate life and we'll work out life because we don't really need it. Christ is just here to, like the word came, just to serve us. And so we don't really want the power of Christ in our lives. But if we want the power of Christ in our lives, then there's an incentive for you tonight. You need to start to boast in your weaknesses. Isn't that so? That's what Paul says. I want to boast in my weaknesses. And then he goes on, he says, for the sake of Christ, then I'm actually content with weaknesses. And then he goes on to say a lot of other things which I'm not going to focus on tonight. I want to focus specifically on our weaknesses. And I'm not talking about sin tonight, okay? So tell somebody next to you he's not talking about sin. Okay, so please don't misunderstand me, because if you're thinking I'm talking about compromising of sin, I'm definitely not talking about sin tonight. I'm talking about moral weaknesses in our lives, character flaws that are just there. It's like a thorn in the flesh. It's like something that you wish wasn't there. But like Paul, God says, you know what? I'm going to keep that thing there. And I believe some weaknesses we can get over. Okay? I really believe as we grow in Christ, some weaknesses seem to just fade away. But other weaknesses stay there for the same reason that Paul mentions here. So that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So that I may never boast in my goodness and in my strength and in my giftings and in my talents. I want to boast in the power of Christ. Amen. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. We're going to talk about one of the great men of the Old Testament who was just a man like us, yet he was so called. I want to ask you guys tonight, who's been called here of God tonight? I want you to raise your hand. Who's been called by God? Okay, some of you are like, I'm not sure. You know, if you're not sure, then maybe tonight God wants to call you. He might not have separated you yet. Because there's a difference between calling and separation. Come to Bible school to learn more about that. But you know, God calls everyone. God calls us even before we were born. But God has a calling for you, and He has a calling for me, and He had a calling for this man. This man encountered God in a burning bush. Imagine encountering God in a burning bush. Imagine seeing this bush burning, and you think, but you've seen bushes burn in the desert before, but this one's not burning out. This bush just seems to be supernatural. It just burns and burns and burns. And so God appeared to this man in the bush and he told him, listen, I've got a mission for you. I've got a calling for your life because it's not only about you, it's about my people. So I don't know how many of you have had a burning bush now in the spirit now. How many of you have had a burning bush encounter with God? Okay. It could just be in your heart, but who's had an encounter with God? You know, some people had encounters with God on Thursday night at Bultfontein. We went to Bultfontein on Thursday night. We went to minister to the young people there. And people had an encounter with God. Young people in that school, there was about 60 kids. It was amazing. Everyone responded. God encountered people and people encountered God. That I would say was a burning bush encounter for some of these people. So I don't know if you've had a burning bush encounter like the man I'm talking about, Moses. Because Moses had this incredible encounter with God and God called him and God said, Moses, I've got a mission for you. I've heard the cry of my people and I want to use you to lead the people of God out of Egypt. I want to use you. And you know what happened? Moses started to talk to God about this calling. Moses had this conversation. I don't know about you, if you've had a conversation with God, if God has started to speak to you about specific stuff, but I just know that if you're a spirit-filled believer, if you know Jesus tonight, you know what? You've got a calling. Maybe you haven't heard that tonight, but I want to tell you tonight, I want to say it's the truth that you've got a calling. There's a calling upon your life. So tell someone next to you, there's a calling upon your life. Because you know, I believe the devil steals from us, guys. I'm so excited about this word because I believe the devil steals from us because he says that, you know, we're not really good enough, or we're not really called, or we're not, you know. No, God will use someone else. It's not you. No. That wasn't God. That was just a, you imagined that burning bush. No, it wasn't God. It was something else. Forget about it. And when God calls us and we encounter God, and I trust if you haven't encountered God, then I trust tonight will be an encounter with God. But if you've encountered God before, I want to remind you tonight that you have a calling. And it's to do with the people of God. It's to do with those who need to be rescued out of slavery and out of Egypt, so to speak. But God started to speak to Moses, and Moses had these massive questions that he asked God, because God spoke to him and he gave him the instructions. He said, I want you to go to Pharaoh. I want you to take the people out of Egypt. And then suddenly what happened is Moses is confronted with all his weaknesses and his inadequacies. And he suddenly feels, what is this? And that's what we normally do. I believe when God calls us, then we start to count the cost. Some of us are a bit better about it than others. Others just follow God. You know, we've got more faith. But some of us are like, we start to ask the hard questions. And we start to look at ourselves and think, but are we the right? Has God got it right here to call me? And so then we start to make excuses. We start to count the cost and we think, no, it can't be me. And we calculate it. And in the natural, it doesn't make sense. This is, God, you've got the wrong person here. And so I'm just going to go through five excuses that Moses made. I'm going to go through it very quickly because I want to get to the truth tonight. I want to get to what God is really saying to Moses in this word, and also to us as believers this evening. The number one excuse Moses says was, Moses, who am I? Who am I that you want to send me? God, I'm not good enough. That's the first thing he said in verse 11 of Exodus chapter 3. You can read Exodus 3 and 4. I'm not going to go through it in detail tonight. I just want to highlight some of the excuses that that Moses told to God. So Moses said, you know, God, I'm not sure who I am. I've got this identity crisis. God, it can't be me. Who am I? Why me, God? And I'm not good enough. So that's the first excuse. We say, I'm not good enough. And the truth tonight is that no one is good enough. Amen. No one is perfect. And there is a lie going around that we have to be perfect to serve God. We've got to be mature and so anointed and super spiritual, and then we can serve God. And God says, you know what? No one is like that. No one is perfect. So no one is good enough. But our first excuse is, God, I'm not good enough. Then God goes on with this conversation and he speaks to Moses. And the second thing Moses says, and God every time comes with a response, and we'll look at that. God comes with truth and he tells Moses something, but Moses seems to carry on, and he goes to the next excuse. And the next excuse he said is, Lord, I don't know what to say to these people. What do I say to them, Lord? I don't know how to talk about you, God. What do I say? What happens if, you know, what happens if people start asking questions? What happens if they challenge me, Lord? I don't know what to say. And this is talking to the people of Israel. This isn't even talking to the Egyptians yet. This is, or to Pharaoh. This is talking to the people of Israel. Moses said, Lord, I don't know what to say. Who am I to lead these people? Who am I to make a difference? So is that your excuse tonight? So I want you to look at your heart and say, is my excuse that I don't, you know, I'm not good enough? Or maybe the second one, I don't know what to say, Lord. You know, this thing of testifying to people, this thing of telling people about who you are, Lord, I just don't know. I don't know what to say. And the truth is, we're going to never have all the answers. And God knows that. Number three. In chapter 4, verse 1. Again, and God is saying to Moses stuff, and Moses is carrying on with his excuse. And he says, God, but what happens if they don't believe? They want to listen to me, but Lord, they don't really believe, and they don't really think that, you know, I'm the right guy. So the third excuse we tend to make is, in terms of our calling now, and in terms of what God has got for us, is, you know what? What happens if people reject me? You know that fear of man that many times comes up? Lord, if I've got to witness, if I've got to go on a mission, if I've got to do something, God, but what happens if people reject me? What happens if people don't want to listen? And you know what? Not everyone is going to accept what you say. Not everyone is going to believe you and believe God. That's okay. God knows that. But do we have that excuse tonight? Do we have that challenge in our lives? I don't know what to say. Number four, in verse 10, Moses starts to look at himself and he says, God, I am not the right. I cannot speak, God. This is going to take some communication, God. Don't you understand? You know, I've got to negotiate with Pharaoh. I've got to communicate with like thousands or millions of people almost. God, you know, I'm not good at speaking. I'm a bit weak in this area, God. I'm not so eloquent of speech. So God, you've got the wrong person here. This ability of mine and this gifting and this stuff that I need, Lord, it doesn't look like it's matching up, God. I think you've got the wrong person. What is there in your life? What are you thinking? And what are you looking at your weaknesses and your inabilities? And God, I know I've got a calling, but God, I think someone else must rather fulfill this calling. Because I'm not the right person. And then in the end, what did Moses do? He says, oh my Lord, in verse 13, please send someone else. Who's had that before? Where God has spoken to you, you know, like volunteering, eh? I don't know about you. At school, we did cadets at school, okay? So we had a cadet camp in standard 9 in grade 11. And so we had to, for matric, there was like rank getting given out. And so if you did well on this camp, then you got rank and you were like, you know. And so they looked for volunteers. They looked at who's the guys that are going to say, you know, just, you know, they would ask subtle questions and see who would volunteer first. Who's the guys that are going to go on the front lines to do like difficult jobs? But isn't it like that for us sometimes? We're just waiting for someone else to put up their hand. You know, God has kind of spoken to you and then you're like, just I hope that person volunteers. I don't know if you guys have been in a situation like that before. You know this is tough and then you just look around, you think, yes, that guy will fit the gift. You know, this thing that I have to do now, it's probably not me because I haven't got the gift. So, you know, Arnu will do it. You know, he's so cool, you know, or Linky will do it. You know, she's so talented, eh? But meanwhile, God is speaking to you. And then we hope for someone else. And then eventually we say to God, God, please send someone else. This guy, please send Jacobus. He'll do everything. You know, he'll lead worship and lead people to Christ because he's an evangelist. And, you know, he'll mobilize everyone. Lord, I'll just follow, you know. It's not me, God. Please just to send someone else. So I don't know where you're at this evening with the excuses and I'm talking here about weaknesses. I'm talking just about stuff that we can wrestle with. And I'm not saying you mustn't have excuses. I think it's good to ask questions. But don't allow that to override the truth, which I'm just going to share right now. Don't allow your weaknesses to determine the path that Christ has for your life. Don't allow your insecurities or anything in your life to stop the purposes of God coming to pass. Amen. Don't allow it. What excuse do you have here this evening? Because I've got good news for you this evening. Tell someone next to you, there's good news. God knows God knows our insecurities. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our excuses that we make. But His truth is amazing. And that's what I want to get to. The five truths that God said to Moses in this passage, which is incredible. I want you to remember it tonight. I want you to live by it. I want you, that's why I call it truth. Truth number 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, because it's truth that will set us free. Amen. The Word of God sets us free. Truth number 1, are you ready? What did God say to Moses? He said, I will certainly be with you. You belong to me, Moses. I am God, and you know what? This relationship here. I haven't called you to make life difficult for you. I've called you to give you an adventure. I've called you because this is what you've been born for. Amen. So I don't know where you are tonight, but I want to say that you have been born for a time like this and you have been born to fulfill the purposes of God. There's nothing else. Isn't that exciting? Whether you're going to be a doctor one day, whether you're going to be a lawyer or a teacher or a sports person, doesn't matter what you're going to be one day, you have been called by God for a time like this and for a mission like this. Amen. It's exciting to live in South Africa. I don't know about you. There's so many opportunities for entrepreneurs, for businesses, for the ministry. And God hasn't called you to be a pastor, or if you're not a pastor, then, oh, okay, now I'm not called by God, because that is a lie. or an evangelist or prophet, or, you know, if I'm not in the fivefold ministry, then I'm not called by God. And I want to say that's a lie, because every member has been called by God. Every person who's given their life to Christ, we're in the New Testament, guys. We're not in the Old Testament. We're only certain people who are filled with the Spirit and were used to lead. We've been all called as leaders. You can lead one person to Christ, then guess what? You're a leader. So you're like Moses. You might lead millions or hundreds of thousands, or you might lead 2 or 3 or 10 people to Christ, or closer to Christ. You don't have to lead them to Christ. You can just lead them closer to Christ if you're not an evangelist, because not everyone is an evangelist, so that's fine. But you've been called to lead. You've been filled with the Holy Spirit. You've been empowered. And if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to say, you know, get filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot operate in the power of God without the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. But you've been called tonight. That's good news. And God is with you. And God, you belong to God. And you can do anything that God has called you to do. Amen. Don't look at the negatives. Don't look at what is not. But God said, and you, there's going to be a sign that I've sent you. Because when you brought the people out, you shall serve God on this mountain. There's going to be fruit in your life. And I'll never forget when I got baptized in water and I got filled with the Holy Spirit. It was a time when God really spoke to me and said, you know what, you're going to bear fruit for my kingdom. And I didn't have a clue as to what it was going to be. Didn't have a clue that I was going to be a pastor, really, honestly. I like thought, no, I'm going to be an engineer and I'm just going to serve God or whatever. And here I am today. Loving what I do, but I just know it's God's calling on my life. It's not mine. But whether you're a pastor or a teacher or whether you're a doctor or whatever your vocation is, God has got a calling for you. And there's going to be fruit. There's going to be evidence that God has sent you to where you need to go. And that's why I say certainly, certainly, certainly. Tell someone next to you, certainly God is with you. I want you to know that. I want you to know that God is with you. If you've been called by God, He's with you and you are His. You belong to Him. You see, God showed Moses that it wasn't about him at all. Your identity, you don't need to have an identity crisis. You don't need to ask the question, who am I? Because you know what? It's not about who am I. It's about who's God. And the fact that you belong to God and that God is yours, you know, you should say, God, who are you in my life? Because actually my life is all about you. Amen. So it's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. I want to say that again. It's not about who you are. It's about whose you are. God is with you, and His presence is there. He assures us that He will never leave us nor forsake us. And I've experienced that in the ministry in my own life. You know, the ministry is not easy, and at times you just want to run away, and you know, God, can I do something easier? But you know, I don't want to do anything else, because it's not about easy. It's about seeing lives change, and it's wonderful to see how you guys are growing and how people grow in God. That's what makes me tick. That's what makes me wake up in the morning. As long as the kingdom is coming, I'll do whatever. And I said that to God. I said, God, I don't have to be in the ministry. I just want to do anything to let your kingdom come. So God is with you, and God has been with me, and God will never leave me. I know that, and God will never leave you. So don't ask, who am I? Ask, God, who are you? You're great, God. I belong to you. Number two, God says to Moses, and this is the answer to the question, God, what am I going to say? I don't know how to testify. I don't know how to talk about you. And God said to Moses, I am who I am. Thus you shall say that I am has sent you. That's amazing. God says, you know, I am. And then He goes on to say, I'm the God of, just to paraphrase it, you know, I'm the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. This is my name forever. This is who I am. I'm yesterday, today, and forever. I don't change, and I'm the same. I'm faithful. Isn't that what, that's what I see out of this. God is faithful. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's faithful. He is the I am. He's not in time. He's not limited by time. He's the great I am, the now. But He's also the I was and the I will be. That's what He said to John in Revelation. He said, you know, I'm the God who was and who is to come. So I want to say tonight, when you're asking the question, what must I say, God? You know what? Ask God for a revelation of who He is. I want to ask you guys now, I did it this morning, I want to ask you, just put up your hands, what if you have to tell someone right now about who God is, just one word, what would you say? Quickly. What did you tell someone? Yes, Zane. God is love. Anyone else? Don't say the same thing now, just say something, I want to hear some different stuff. Yes. God is the provider. quickly. Just shout it out there. Okay, yes. God is hope. He's a father to the fatherless. Come, a couple more. Where's your guys' revelation? Come now. Enig iets anders? David, you guys? Yeah, go for it. He's the God in the silence, you know. Like come, some more stuff. Come, I'm getting you thinking now because I'm asking about your revelation of God. Who's God in your life? Quickly. What about the healer? Has anyone been physically healed? Yeah? God is the healer. My son knows that God heals. He just knows. God heals. And God heals our hearts and heals our brokenness. And you know, because that's the stuff you impart to your children. What am I trying to say to you guys this evening? I'm trying to say that your revelation of God will determine what you're going to say about God. That's challenging, isn't it? Ish. I better go and study my Bible, you know. Better go and obey the word that came. You know, we must spend more time because do I know God? Do I know the great I am? Because that's what you'll testify. Your abundance of your life will flow out of the fact that you know God. And it's not an intellectual thing. And you know, so many times we have intellectual stuff about God. You know, this is who God is. But you know, I don't really know that God is a provider. You know, we quote the Jehovah Jireh, my provider, but then you struggle to have faith for your finances. You struggle to have faith for the lack in your life. But yet we'll sing about Jehovah Jireh. You know, we're so religious sometimes around God. Because we don't really know He's my provider. We haven't got a testimony that God has provided. So we know the scripture in theory. And that's our challenge in the Western world. We know so much in our heads, but we don't know it in our hearts. And that's what God was trying to say to Moses. I've been faithful and I'm here in this burning bush, Moses. I'm real. I'm here to meet with you. So just testify that the great I am is awesome. We'll get to that now. This is my memorial to all generations. I remember I had a friend who was working with me and we were in a lift club and this one guy, he said he's an atheist. He doesn't believe in God and he could see like we Christians and so he like laughed at us. He thought, yes, we're just crazy. We wacky, but we just loved this guy. We really loved him. But my friend we came home one day, we lived together at the time, and he just said, you know, I'm just so challenged because this guy, it's like I'm doubting my faith now because this guy's like challenging me with all these hard questions. And he's like, I said to him, you know what? Chill. Don't doubt God. Now, God is good, and whatever this guy says, don't let it get to you. But then you challenge when you speak to a guy like this and he doesn't want to believe, then you start to realize what is my revelation of God? Because can I testify to this guy about God being real in my life? And I could see this friend of mine, he was challenged because he had a lot of head knowledge and he knew God and he loved God, but he was shaken in his heart because he thought, do I really know God? Because this guy's almost convincing me there isn't a God. I just said to him, no, we've got to trust God for this guy. But you see, we're challenged by unbelievers many times. We're challenged by people who don't believe because we don't have a revelation of who God is. And God says, I'm the great I am. I'm the one who was and who is to come. And I'm with you. So just speak out of your revelation. Speak out of what you know. And then, the truth number three. Moses is carrying on. He says, God, I don't know. What happens if the people don't want to listen? What happens if they don't believe? God says to him, what is in your hand? And he says, a rod. God says, throw that rod down. What happened? It became a snake. And Moses ran away. And then he said, go and pick up that snake. And he picked it up and it became a rod again. Then God says, put your hand in your bosom. And his hand became leprous. He took it out and became all leprous and he says, put your hand back in and it became fine again. And he says, Moses, listen here. Whatever is in your hand, I'm going to use. In fact, not even what is in your hand. Just let me use your hand. Isn't that amazing? God is the God of the impossible. And when people don't want to believe, you know what God says? I will show them. I will demonstrate to them. I'm the God of miracles and I can use whatever is in your hand. In fact, I can even just use your hand. So guess what? None of us have got an excuse. Tell someone next to you, you have not got an excuse. Because you've got a hand. Who's got a hand here? God wants to use anything. But you know what? He will do it. He will be the one. We don't have to be all cute and all cool. And we can just say, God, here is my rod. do miracles. And we know the story. God did incredible miracles through the doubting man. This man who had so many excuses and said, God, I don't want to. God, I'm the wrong person. God said, I'll do anything. I'll do the impossible through your life. So what is in your hand tonight? I drove back from Atlantis on the West Coast one afternoon after work. We had a lift club, and so we drove 65 Ks one way, 65 Ks back every day from Stellenbosch to Atlantis. And so one day I wasn't in the same lift club because they left early. So I got a lift with there was some holiday students and some other people in the car. So there were 4 of us in the car. And I know we're coming back, and I don't know these people that way. I don't actually know them at all, really. I've met them a few times. But the Lord says to me, now it's time to testify. It's time to just talk about me now in this car. And I'm thinking, God, how do I do this? You know, this is going to be so awkward. These people are talking about everything else except, you know, you and engineering and all the stuff. And God, what happens? What do I need to say? And so I was at that place of Moses. God, how do I testify? Well, what do I say now? And so God just said to me, just ask them a question. I said, what question, God? So now we're driving in the car. We're getting closer to Stellenbosch. And I'm thinking, my time's running out because we're all going to get out the car and then it's going to be over. And I don't want that feeling. And I've had that feeling before where God has told me something and I haven't done it. And it's a terrible feeling. You have to repent and get over yourself and you know, go for the next one. So this was a moment where I had to count the cost. God, am I going to say, speak to these people or not? I don't want to feel guilty and all this stuff. I want to be obedient now. So then I thought, a good question would be, you know, what happens if we have to die now? What happens if this car has to roll now? You know, where are you going? And I just threw that out there. And you know, in those moments when you throw those questions out, then you just want to like get out the car and like, God, you do the rest, you know. So I honestly, I said, you know, I just feel I want to ask you guys, you know, what happens if we have to die in an accident now? Like, what will happen? Where are you going? So the one guy answered, he says, nah man, ek is nie deel van die 144,000 wat klaar uitgekies is. You know, like, I'm not, I don't care, you know, like, that's, you know, you don't have to tell me this because I'm not one of them. I'm like, okay, we can talk about this. And then the other person, I don't know what the other person said, the one girl, she was quiet, and the other guy just said, he doesn't believe, and it's okay, he's a good person. I think that's what he said. No, he's a good person. He's done a few good things. He thinks he'll go to heaven, you know. He's not sure. But I left it there. I didn't argue with him. I just said goodbye. We dropped each other off, and a couple of months later, I see two of those three people. I see them in church with us, and I'm like, whoa, God. I didn't tell them anything. I just asked them this question. And yeah, you convicted two of the three hearts that were in that car, and they're serving you. The same guy, in fact, that said he's not part of the 144,000. He had an encounter with God and gave his life and was serving God. See, God can do anything. God can use you. If you're someone who's good at asking questions, then just ask questions. If you're good at leading someone to Christ, then lead them. Pray the sinner's prayer. Lead them to Christ. If you're good at just getting people into your house to start to talk about life, then do that. But what is in your hand? God wants to do anything through your life. Amen. Can someone get excited here this evening? Because you have something to give. You've got life to give. So stop asking the questions. What do I need to do? How do I need to convince them? Because God says we don't need to convince anyone. That's good news tonight. Amen. He will convince them. He will do miracles. He will change people's lives in His time. We just need to sow seeds. I heard a great saying once that, you know, when you get to heaven one day, your seed bag must not be full. Just don't get to heaven with a bag full of seed, okay? That's quite challenging. Because we have so much seed in our bags and we like sow a little bit and yes, God, I'm carrying this heavy bag of seed and I'm going to get to heaven and God's going to say, but why is your bag full? You don't need seed in heaven. Sow the seed on earth. Sow whatever you can sow and God is going to do the impossible through your life. Amen? Tell someone next to you, God is going to do anything through your life. He can do anything through your life. And then Moses, the second last thing, God, I'm not good. I can't speak. You know, all these excuses about I'm the wrong person. And you know what God said to him? Who has made your mouth? Who has made the mute and the deaf and the seeing and the blind? Have not I the Lord? Just go, Moses. Go and do what I've called you to do. So where are all those excuses about, God, I can't speak properly, or Lord, I'm not gifted in this, Lord, I'm, no, use someone else, God, you know,
And God says, listen here, Moses, I've created you with your weaknesses. I've created you exactly like I want you. And you know what? I still want to use you just like that, with those weaknesses, with that inability to speak. And we'll see now why he does it, why God does this. This is so exciting. God reminded Moses that he had created him and that he was in control and he was going to teach him everything that he needed to say. And I want to say tonight, God wants to use you. Amen. Doesn't just hope to use you. Doesn't just think, oh, you know, if you don't really obey, then it's okay, I'll move on. God does not want to move on. God wants to use you. And yes, you know, God will move on because God has an agenda and he gives us chance and you know. But God can get a bit cross, we'll see now. God doesn't like it when we sort of say no, you know, because he believes in us more than we believe in ourselves. And he wants to use you. I want to tell you that tonight. There's a truth that I want you to know. God wants to use you. He doesn't want to use anyone else. He's created you for a purpose and you are unique. He wants to use you. That's the great news for us tonight. He doesn't create someone exactly like you. You are a unique person. There will never be someone like you. There has never been someone like you. You are unique. God wants to use you because he loves you. Amen. And then lastly, what happened? Moses has said to God, God, please just pass me on. Lord, there's someone else. And this is when God starts to get angry. I would have gotten angry after the second excuse. I don't know about you, okay? But God is long-suffering. God has proved miracles. He said to Moses, do this, throw this rod down, and it becomes a snake. Moses saw miracles in front of him. In fact, he saw a miracle in the burning bush. And the guy still doesn't want to believe. Still doesn't want to be used by God. What must God do? You ever thought about that? Yo, God is amazing, that he could use Moses. And at the end of the story, is much better than the beginning. Moses was one of the greatest men. Moses, in fact, wrote that he was the most humble man in all the earth in Numbers. Now, you've got to be humble to write that, okay? You've got to be secure in your identity to write that. And I don't see security in his identity. Yeah, I see he's very unsure about himself. But he wrote, you know, Moses was the most humble man. But I think God got a bit angry with Moses because he did four times, he's proved to Moses that he's going to be with him. He's going to do the impossible. He's called him. He believes in him. All these things. And still Moses said, okay, Lord, this is cool, Lord. This is so cute. You've done miracles. God, just still pass me on. I'm just not the right person. And God's anger is kindled against Moses. And he says, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? Listen to this. I know that he can speak well. And look, he's coming out to meet you. When he sees you, you will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you. You shall be to him as God, and you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. What does God really want out of all this? God wanted to do this anyway, but Moses just didn't want to listen, so God had to tell him straight. God is like, can't this guy walk by faith? Can't just this guy just believe me that I'm going to use him? And I've got plans to use him. I know his mouth is not good at speaking. I know he's not good at a lot of things, but I want to use him. So what was God's plan all along? That Moses never did this on his own. Amen. That's why he chose Moses. He chose the weak things. And the Bible says he chooses the weak things of this world to put to shame that which is strong. To put to shame the wise. He uses the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. Isn't that good news for us tonight? I trust that people will be set free tonight because you're looking so much at your weaknesses. And you know what God is saying to you? I've got an Aaron that will lift up your hands. I've got an Aaron that will speak for you. But you just go and I've called you. I've made provision. And I've seen it in the history of this church. I've seen it in my walk with God, being a pastor. I've seen God bring people across my path that are so different from me, and their strengths complement my weaknesses. I say, thank you, Lord. That's your plan. Because I cannot do everything, God. And I want to thank the people are sitting in this room tonight, some of them came this morning. But I'm just so thankful for the people that God has given me, because God wants to form partnerships. God does not want to do stuff on our own. He doesn't want to use us as individuals. He wants to use a team. Amen. And so he said to Moses, just look away from your weaknesses. I've made provision. In fact, your weaknesses are there to keep you humble, to keep you trusting in me. That's why God is so angry. Can't Moses just trust him because he's made provision? He says, you know what? Aaron is going to come and you know what? He's going to be excited. And I've seen people excited to serve alongside me, to serve with me in this church. I've seen people come and it's been like an Aaron running with joy saying, just I want to serve the purposes of God. It's been awesome to have partners. And I want to say to you guys tonight, every one of you, there's an Aaron that needs to help you in your weaknesses. Amen. There's an Aaron who can speak for you and you're going to be like God to that person. And obviously that's another theological thing. I'm not going to go into that now. But you know, there's going to be an Aaron to help you and you might be an Aaron to someone else. You might have to be the Aaron. You might be the Moses. I don't know what you've been called for. But God has called you in partnership. And so when we look at our weaknesses, we think, oh God, you know, I'm not going to do this on my own. And God says, you know what? I never wanted you to do it on your own. I wanted you to do it with a partner. And that's the blessing of marriage. And marriage is just the start. It shouldn't end with marriage, you know, but there's a blessing in marriage where you get a partner that's different from you. So guys and girls, look for someone who's different from you. Look for someone, and yes, I know guys and girls are anyway opposite, okay, so they are quite different. But God will generally bring someone across your path that is not the same as you. They'll have the different strengths and different weaknesses, and you will complement each other, and it's an incredible partnership. But Paul says Christ was talking about the church when he talked about marriage. He says marriage is just a symbol of the church. It's me and this imperfect bride. And I believe also it's this imperfect bride coming together. The fivefold ministry, different gifts, gifts of the Spirit, gifts of the Father, all coming together to form this incredible partnership. I call it God's master plan. He never intended for Moses to be alone. He said, I want you to form kingdom partnerships so you can change the world as a team. And guess who's going to take the glory? Anyone? Moses? Aaron? No one's going to take the glory. Jesus Christ will take the glory. So this is, for me, this is just amazing because to end off tonight, why do we need to rejoice in our weaknesses? Number one, they keep us humble. Why can we celebrate our weaknesses? Why can we boast and find contentment in our weaknesses? This is what Paul is writing about. And he's saying, I can be content. I can actually boast in my weaknesses. Why? Because my weakness keeps me humble. The thing of God being with us. That it's about God and not about us. It keeps us dependent upon Him. Second, number two, it keeps us dependent upon Him. Our weaknesses are there. And God will not take certain weaknesses away because He wants us to be so dependent upon Him and trust in Him. Because guess what happens when we're so gifted and we're so cool and we're so awesome? We start to rely on the giftings. We start to rely on the character that we have or the maturity even in us. We start to rely on the flesh again because, oh, God has given me these things and so it's about me. And I'm not saying it's wrong. We should go for our strengths, but our weaknesses are such a blessing because they keep us dependent upon God. And then number three, they keep us growing in Him. They keep us seeking Him. They keep us realizing that, you know what? I'm weak, but God, I need You. And I want to learn more about You. I want to grow in You. I want to grow to maturity. That I can actually even make peace with my weaknesses and have contentment with who I am. And then number four, they keep us focused on His mission. It's not about our mission. It's not about us being successful or even significant. It's about God being glorified. But the great news is He wants to use us. I said at an encounter one on Wednesday night, you know, I said if Jesus was still walking on this earth as a man, you know what, the world would have probably been changed already. God could have said, right, that's the end of all sin and so we're going to have a perfect world. Jesus would have changed the world quite quickly if He had walked on this earth. But He chose not to. He chose to go away and said, I'm giving You my Spirit. You do it. You change the world. You go to all nations. You go and make disciples. That's the mission. And I think it's the most incredible mission to be part of. It's a great privilege to be part of the mission of God. Amen. It's not about going on missions. It's about being on a mission every single day. And I know you guys are so excited about missions, and that's amazing because I'm also excited to go to London in 2 or 3 weeks' time. I'm excited to go, but you know, I think we must be excited about going every single day. And that's what our weaknesses do. Our weaknesses make us realize that we're on a mission for God. It's actually not about us so much. And then lastly, they allow us to form partnerships, kingdom partnerships, where we say, you know what, my weakness, I'm blessed because, you know, someone else's strength can complement my weakness. Someone else will speak for me. when I can't speak, but we're going to go two by two. That's why I say go two by two and we witness to people. Don't go alone. Yes, you can go alone, but go two by two, go three by three, go as a small group, go together. Form a partnership for the kingdom of God to come. See, what if your greatest weaknesses could become your greatest strengths? That's the question tonight. What happens if your weakness could really become your greatest strength? And I think God is going to be glorified. I think we're going to be like Apostle Paul and say, you know what, God, don't take this thorn in the flesh away from me. Don't take this weakness away. Don't take this Achilles heel away from me that sometimes so hampers me. God, because I want to rejoice. There's a plan here. There's a plan for me, and I still want to go, Lord. I'm not going to stop this from saying yes. I'm not going to allow this to stop me from saying yes. I'm not going to let every doubt and fear and uncertainty and weakness make me question you like Moses did. So I want to say tonight, let's not be like Moses. Let's not ask all the questions and wait for God to get angry and to like give us the exact rundown. Let's trust Him because His plan is the same as it was for Moses. He wants to send us to get people out of slavery. Isn't that amazing? I think it's the greatest mission to be a part of. I think it's just incredible. So I believe we need to just surrender our strength, our weaknesses, and allow our weaknesses to become a strength in God's sight, to become to allow God to be strong. And then we can say, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Because how many of us do say that? How many of us say, sure, you know, I'm weak now, but you know, I'm actually strong. Mostly we say, you know, I'm strong now, so God is great. So we glorify Him when we're strong. But what about saying, you know, God, thank you for my weaknesses. I surrender them. I want you to use my weaknesses, God, that you can be glorified. Amen. Let's all close our eyes and pray tonight. Lord, I just want to thank you that you are so good to us, Lord. I want to thank you of the story of Moses, Lord, that we are reminded, God, that you called someone with an incredible plan, Lord. You called someone to take the people of Israel out of the slavery in Egypt. Thank you, Lord, that we can learn from Moses, that we can realize, Lord, that even he had so many doubts, so many fears, so many uncertainties, Lord. Even he felt not good enough. But Lord, tonight we realize that you believed in him all along. Lord, you used him in a mighty way, even despite his weaknesses, Lord, even though he was disobedient towards the end of his life, and you said, you know, I'm not going to send you, I'll send Joshua into the promised land. But thank you that, Lord, you were faithful to use a man like Moses. And Lord, some of us are starting on that journey. Some of us have had a burning bush encounter with you, Lord, and you're starting to speak to people here about the great calling that's upon their lives. And Lord, they've been counting the cost and been wrestling with that, Lord. And I thank you tonight that you set people free, Lord, of just looking at their weaknesses, just looking at what they cannot do, or looking at the fact that they don't feel good enough. They feel inadequate. Lord, I thank you that you'll set people free tonight by your Spirit, Lord, that you would come and confirm the calling that is on every person in this room, Lord. And some people just need to come, Lord, to Jesus tonight. Some people need to come to you tonight to receive that burning bush experience, Lord. Lord, some people just need to be obedient tonight. Some people just need to say yes and stop making excuses. Stop being disobedient and stop, Lord, asking so many questions and evaluating and being so fearful, God. Thank you for faith in this church tonight. Faith in all of our hearts, Lord. That you believe in us and that you've called us, God, despite ourselves, despite our weaknesses, despite everything that seems to be not working and not fitting together, you still want to use us. I thank you for that truth tonight. So I want to ask you right there where you are, while all our eyes are closed, and you're just speaking to God right now. And if you don't know Jesus in this place tonight, you don't know that there's actually a calling on your life. You're not sure that one day, like those people in the car when I asked them, you know, what happens if you die tonight? What happens if you die when you leave this place? What happens if you die tomorrow, in this week? Are you going to be sure that you have a place in heaven, that there's a mansion prepared for you? Are you sure of that? Maybe you need to come back to Jesus tonight. Maybe you need to have that burning bush encounter because you've grown cold and you've been wandering in the desert and you're just so far from God tonight. You feel so far from Him. And tonight He wants, by His warmth, He wants to draw you to that place where He can start to speak to you. So if you're there tonight, if you need to make a commitment to Jesus or come back to Jesus tonight or just give your life to Him, surrender your life. It's not about having a ticket to heaven. It's about receiving this calling. But the first calling that you're going to receive is to know the heart of the Father. To know that He loves you and that He saves you from your sin. He saves you from every circumstance, from everything that's coming against you. He's the Savior. So if that's you tonight, I just want you to raise your hand just to give me an indication. Say, Alistair, pray for me. I need Jesus tonight. I need a burning bush encounter with Him. Because I realize that I'm missing His purposes. I'm missing, sin is not just sin. Sin is missing the purposes of God, missing the mark. So if you need to come back to Jesus tonight or come to Jesus tonight, just, is there anyone tonight? I'd love to pray with you. I know it's a bold step to make, but just be honest with where you're at. If the Lord is speaking to you tonight, if He's convicting you, just give me an indication. Is there anyone here tonight? Just want to make sure, because that's also why we have churches, that you can be sure that you're going to go to heaven. But more than that, you can be sure of a calling on your life. And then right there where you are, I just want you to, in your heart, If you're struggling with weaknesses, I want you to really contemplate that. I want you to, if you're feeling inadequate tonight, inadequate on the calling upon your life, if you really feel like I'm not the right person, I know there's this calling and I'm not quite sure, I'm not even sure of the calling, but I know there's a calling, but you feel so weak and so inadequate and you feel like your weaknesses are overwhelming you, then I just want you to also raise your hand. To just give me an indication of where you're at tonight, because I believe God is wanting to encourage you tonight that you are good enough. If you're not feeling good enough tonight, just stick up your hand and just be honest with God. Be honest with your weaknesses. If God is showing you there's weaknesses in your life and you're so stressed about them, you just don't want these weaknesses here, God is saying rejoice. And I want you just to raise your hand because He's going to make you rejoice in your weaknesses tonight. Anyone else? Thanks for the hands there. You can lower your hand again. I believe God is going to set you free tonight. So I want us all to stand. And while we're standing tonight, if you know God is speaking to you about these weaknesses in your life and you just love to come and lay them down and to come to surrender them and to come to rejoice in them, you just want someone to pray with you, then just come. We'd love to pray with you this evening. If God has spoken to you about your weaknesses, just respond to what God wants to do in your life this evening. And facilitators, you guys can just come forward so long to just meet these people at the front. If God is speaking to you about your weaknesses, if you want to surrender your weaknesses and rejoice in them, because tonight you're going to rejoice in who you are. You're good enough tonight. Amen. Maybe you're unsure of your identity. Maybe you struggle with the thing of who am I? Am I really the right person for this that I'm doing and that I'm being called for? Or maybe you don't know your calling tonight. Then come. God wants to give you your calling. He wants to make sure that you know who you are. So if the Lord is speaking to you, just come. Join these people in front. If God is speaking, be obedient right now. I really trust that God is going to set people free tonight. It's not a shaming you. It's just you're recognizing, God, I'm a weak person. I want to humble myself before you, God. And I want to say, Lord, thank you for my weaknesses. Thank you that I'm actually inadequate, but God, you want to use me. If you want God to use you tonight, I want you also to come. Just where you're at, if you know you've got a calling of God upon your life, and you want God to use you, then come. Tonight is the start of that calling. You feel so inadequate. You feel like, no, Lord, later. And God is saying, not later. I want to start the process in your life now. So if that's you, just respond. We're going to have facilitators praying for you. And I trust God to set you free tonight. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your freedom tonight in this place. Thank you that you want to touch people's hearts tonight. I believe there's people tonight also that God wants you to rejoice in the weaknesses of others. If you're here tonight and you struggle to, all you're seeing in other people is their weaknesses. You're just seeing what's not right and you're criticizing people and you struggle to rejoice in other people's weaknesses. God wants you to celebrate others' weaknesses tonight. So I want you also to come because maybe God is showing stuff in your own life that that you're actually not happy with. Because you know what? Many times we portray what's not right in our hearts on other people. God wants you to rejoice in other people's weaknesses. So if you struggle to do that, if you're just very critical and you see people, God has had to do this in my life. I'm speaking of experience recently. God is setting me free of looking at people's weaknesses and just thinking, why don't they have the same strengths as me? Why they got this? You know, they must get over this. And God is setting me free to see people for who they are. Because normally it's the strengths that I don't have. So if God is speaking to you about being critical of other people and always seeing the negative, then He wants to set you free tonight to rejoice in your own weaknesses, but to rejoice in that of others as well. So just come. If you need prayer tonight, come. We'd love to pray for you. So while we're praying for these people, I want you to ask the Lord to show you who are the kingdom partners in your life. Who's the Aaron in your life? Who's the Moses in your life? Amen. And to form partnerships that you can see the kingdom of God come together. That you're not alone in this journey. Your weaknesses will be complemented by someone else's strengths. So I want you to think of right there where you guys are at. I want you to think who are the kingdom partners in your life that are different from you. It could be a wife to start off with, or a husband. For those who are married, yeah, there's a couple of married people, yeah. But if you're not married tonight, I want you to be partnering with someone else who's got different gifts and abilities to you. And start to rejoice in your weakness. Amen. Start to rejoice in that which God has for you. And so I want to say, if you're not in a small group tonight, come partner with our small groups. Partner with other people who are seeking God together. And your weaknesses, I can tell you, God will use them. God will use them because you'll stay humble. You'll stay dependent. So Father, I want to thank you for freedom in your house tonight, Lord, that you set people free of bondages, Lord, of not feeling good enough, Lord. Some people here that have responded tonight, they feel so inadequate, Lord, and they've got massive callings upon their lives. But I want to thank you that you set them free tonight, Lord, that they don't need to be good enough, Lord. I want to say to some people tonight, you don't need to be good enough. Stop trying to be good enough. Some people need to just repent of trying to be good enough. God says you're already good enough. The fact that you've responded to me, said yes to me when I called you first, you're good enough. I want to be with you, and I want to always be with you. I'll never leave you. Some people are just struggling to hear the voice of God. God says, I'm here, I'm with you. I'm not far. Just call upon me tonight. Call upon me right now. In Jesus' name. We're gonna worship the Lord together. Facilitators, you can just pray for the people right now. You can trust God for a word for everyone. And then we're gonna worship the Lord together, and we're gonna sing Et Je Majesty vir ons vier. Just, we're going to sing Majesty together, because God is so great, okay? It's not about us. Just another thing that I forgot to say. You know, I especially put down in the headings of each thing, I put down the excuse that we make with a little eye in front. Because it should be that, you know, it's the little eye is very small, but then for the truth, I put at the start God in bold, in big. Sometimes it's all about I cannot do this, or I cannot do this, and then God just comes and says, but it's about me. I'm the great one. So let's be little eyes and have a great God in our lives. Amen. Can anyone get excited about that? All of us must be little eyes and have a great God that we can boast in, and that our weaknesses will never get us down. We'll say we've got a great God in whom we boast, and that the power of Christ may rest upon us. So let's sing about this great God, this majesty, and allow God to set you free tonight as we pray for people. If you still need prayer, come. Otherwise, you're free to go after we've sung the worship song. Have a great week. You drink some coffee afterwards, fellowship. Please register for the AMP camp and any events that God is wanting you to be at. Don't miss out on those encounters. Amen. But God bless you guys. But let's worship together and pray for people.
Here we are, humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace.